Shalom v'brachot, peace and blessings to everyone who will be joining us today. We are now in our fifth Sefer book of the Torah proper for the Hebrew year 5781, entitled Devarim, or Deuteronomy, meaning words. Our first parsha is entitled by that same name, Devarim. This Sefer book is our last one in the Torah proper. There are a number of important topics we will be encountering as we study. Moshe is giving to Israel, the second generation, along with his faithful servant Yehoshua, Joshua, Yahweh's words. They are both reminders of their history of these past 42 years, as well as encouragement to continue to cross over the Jordan and begin the process of possessing the land of promise. Moshe doesn't mince his words. He tells them the good, the bad, and the ugly. After all, this 11-day journey has taken them 42 years and the almost complete loss of an entire generation. The words Moshe is about to bring to the present nation are strong in both truth and reality. May our Abba Yahweh give us the heart to believe him, hear his promises, and do his words. We may well be the generation that has the possibility of seeing the nation of the whole house of Israel, both houses, Yehuda, Judah, and Yosef Ephraim, believe the promises of our restoration, follow the captain of our salvation, our Adon Lord Yeshua, into the land of the promises, become that nation that brings about his triumphant return, and sees the kingdom of Yahweh come in the promised fullness of its manifestation. Amen. As always, we do use the Orthodox Jewish Bible for our scripture references. If we do use another translation, then we will notate that for you so you will be aware. Also, so you will know, when we quote the scripture references from the OJB, I do include at times definitions and commentary because it helps add clarity and emphasis while we read, especially since the OJB does include numerous Hebrew wording and phrases. However, if you read from the OJB on your own, you won't see these. I just want you to be aware. My name is Joe Snipes, Yosef from Gates to Zion Ministries. Again, welcome, and let's go ahead and get started. Our Parsha comes this week from the fifth and last Sefer book of the Torah proper, Devarim, or Deuteronomy. Now, we're citing because of the redemptive work of our Blessed Master Yeshua, the Ketavim HaNotzrim, the writings of the Nazarenes, the Sefarim, the books of the Messianic writings, citing Matthew through Revelation, which testified to the final renewed covenant originally made between Yahweh and Israel at Mount Sinai, are also considered to be a part of the whole counsel of Yahweh. The Chumash, or five books of the Torah proper, are the root of all scripture. Everything beyond the Torah proper answers back to its root. Therefore, there is no conflict between the Torah and all other scripture, especially that of the Messianic writings. They form one echad, multifaceted, whole unit. Now we find Am Israel, the second generation, poised just east of the land of Canaan at the Yarden, the Jordan River. The same place the previous generation was when they failed in unbelief. Subsequently, they rebelled against Yahweh and refused to go into the land. The evil report of unbelief was given by 10 of the 12 Nesim, the leaders appointed by Moshe to tour the land. It corrupted the hearts of Am Israel of the first generation. In turn, that unbelief manifested by their saying the words, they could not go in and possess the land. Yahweh let their own words be their judgment. It was 40 years total that Am Israel wandered in the Midbar in the wilderness until most of the first generation died after 20 years old. Only Yehoshua, Joshua, and Caleb, were exempt from that judgment because they remained faithful to Yahweh. Devarim in Hebrew means words. It was words that kept Israel from entering and possessing their inheritance 40 years previous. Now, Moshe is about to bring the words of Yahweh before the second generation. It is their trusting faithfulness in those words that will prove most important. they must do what their vote their fathers didn't, possess the land. The more familiar title of this Sefer book is Deuteronomy. It comes from the Greek transliteration of the Torah known as the Septuagint. It means Second Torah. This is a very poor definition because this Sefer, this book of Devarim, is not a Second Torah at all. The rabbis instead use the title Mishneh HaTorah, meaning a repetition of the Torah. Yet even in this, there is a need to define what it is exactly that is being repeated. If you are expecting the Sefer, the Book of Devarim, to be an actual repeat of the whole of Torah thus far, then you will be sadly disappointed. There is hardly anything at all repeated within this Sefer book of any of the previous Seferim or the books. In fact, there are many additional mitzvot and commandments given in this Sefer book that are recorded nowhere else in the Torah. If by repetition you mean a repeat of those important words that Israel will need in order to successfully enter the land and possess their inheritance, then you would be correct. Moshe knows that he has little time to make his words count. He is well aware of Israel's nature and history. As a father, he wants them to hear and continue hearing the words they will need to hear, even if it means that some of those words are hard to accept. So he does what a real father would do. He opens his discourse with a call to teshuvah, or repentance, the great need of true biblical repentance. As a former Christian pastor, I preached repentance. I believed in repentance. I exhorted people to turn away from sin. The only problem was I didn't give them a destination to go to. For the most part, repentance in religious understanding simply means a change of direction. Oh, I knew that people needed to stop sinning. I knew they needed to move away from their previous lifestyles as unbelievers. I told them to start living godly lives. Obey the Lord, I said. But exactly what does that mean? Well, through the grace and mercies of Yahweh, I know exactly what that means today. There is no such thing as true biblical repentance that does not result in a return to the Torah of Yahweh. The word Torah comes from the Hebrew word yara. It means to throw, shoot, or cast. It is an archery term and is used in the sense of hitting a target. The word Torah in Hebrew literally means teaching or instruction. So, what the Torah teaches and instructs you to do is hit the target that Yahweh has set up in order for your life to be what He intends for it to be, for His glory. When we leave the Torah is when we start heading for trouble. The simplest definition of sin is Torahlessness. It's what most English translations call iniquity. What is that? It means to live by one's own independent, self-willed choices with no regard for Yahweh's already revealed parameters as established within His written Torah, the first five books given to Moshe. We're quoting here from Yochanan Aleph, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Everyone practicing chet, sin, also does avra, transgression. And chet, sin, is avra, or transgression, al haTorah, of the Torah instruction, referred to derogatorily as law by the theology of Christendom. All of Israel's troubles throughout the scriptural record can always be found when they departed from Yahweh's Torah given to Moshe. The true prophetic call in today's restoration of the whole house of Israel is one that always demands a heartfelt return to the derech, to the way or path of the Torah. It is the Torah that instructs us as to the way of righteousness, how to discern the holy from the profane. We are also taught how to recognize the condition or status of people and animals as clean and unclean. It is also herein where the definition of what is to be considered actual food is found. Yahweh, by his Torah, further defines the realms of what is to be considered clean and unclean. Most importantly, through the Torah, we are instructed as to how to discern these realms and how to choose the abundant life and blessing Yahweh has promised. This understanding is what allows us to maintain the balance between Yahweh's Torah instructions and our submission to those instructions. Unfortunately, when the Church of Christendom chose to reject Yahweh's Torah, it unwittingly threw away Yahweh's blueprint for living that abundant life. There is a need to make a clear distinction here. Torah is not about eternal salvation. It is about sanctification. No one can earn eternal salvation by keeping commandments. The Torah was never meant to be about eternal salvation. That's why Yahweh's covenant with Avraham comes first. The same way he obtained his righteousness is the same way we obtain our righteousness, by trusting faithfulness, citing Bereshit, Genesis chapter 15. We must not get the cart before the horse. Master Yeshua and his redemptive work on the physical execution stake is the only way into the door that leads to eternal salvation. It is our trusting faithfulness in his death, burial, and resurrection alone that brings us first to redemption and then at his return to the fullness of our eternal salvation, citing Ivrim, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. Redemption gets us into Yahweh's house. However, learning the rules of how his house is run, which is sanctification, is what keeps us in the house. This fact must ever be kept foremost in our mind and heart. The Torah is no longer written just on tablets of stone. It is being written, a present continuous work, on the fleshly tablets of our heart, citing Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Whenever we turn away from Yahweh's Torah is when we start missing the mark. This is where sin is waiting. And the only way to stop that process is to return to the place we left. Teshuva is the Hebrew word meaning to return to Yahweh's Torah, the realm of blessing and shalom. As we turn back to his ways, he will return to us. Moshe speaks in code to Israel. Moshe starts out his instruction by reminding Israel of where they have come from. Here is the opening verse of our parsha. We're quoting from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 1. These are the Devarim, the words which Moshe spoke unto Kol Israel, all Israel, on the far side of the Yarden, the Jordan, in the Midbar, the wilderness, in the Arava, the plain, opposite Suf, the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel, meaning smear or libel, and Laban, meaning white, and Chotzeroth, meaning courts, settlements, and Dizab, meaning enough, too much gold. These words that Moshe is using are not just random places or locations. They are, according to the sages of Israel, a kind of shorthand. They are like code words that are meant to jog the memory. These locations are the places where Israel, the first generation, committed their greatest sins. Moshe is making an indelible point at the very outset of his message. Number one, the wilderness, the place where Israel complained because there was no water to drink. They accused Moshe of bringing them up from Mitzrayim, Egypt, to die there. Number two, Arava, the plain where Israel sinned with the daughters of Moab by joining themselves to Baal Peor. Number three, Suf, the Red Sea. This is where Israel cried out against Moshe because of Pharaoh's army that was coming from behind to destroy them. Number four, Paran, where Israel sinned the great sin of believing the evil report of the ten Nesi'im, the leaders, and saying they could not go in and possess the land. Number five, Tophel and Laban. This is where Israel accused Yahweh, scorned him for the whitish bread called manna, and lusted after meat. Number six, Chotzeroth, the place of Korach's or Korah's rebellion. And number seven, Dizahab, the place where Israel sinned with the golden calf. Moshe follows this with these words. We're quoting Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 2. There is 11 days journey from Horeb, Mount Sinai, unto Kadesh, Barnea, by way of Mount Seir. Can you imagine how those words must have stung? Moshe is pulling no punches here. He has spent 40 years with these Israelites. He knows and remembers all too well how stiff-necked and stubborn they can be. He wants them to remember it too. Why? Because he doesn't want them to make the same mistakes again. Beloved, Teshuva, repentance, is not just a one-time experience. It must become a lifestyle. Yahweh is after the heart. We must not forget from whence we have come. We can and should forget the condemnation of our sin, but we must not forget what was done. A broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart is a great prize when it comes to our walking in the ways of Yahweh, citing Tehillim, Psalms 51, verse 17. Moshe knows he will not be with them much longer, so he starts the repetition method of instructing Israel through the Torah. Teshuva, repentance, is at the heart of the Torah. 1,400 years later, at this very same location, there is another mighty Navi, prophet of Yahweh, crying out to Israel. His message, Teshuva, repent. We're quoting from Matityahu, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. Now in those days, Yochanan, John, of the Tevila of Teshuva, immersion of repentance, appears, preaching, crying out as a Magid, a preacher, for the Moshiach, in the Midbar, in the wilderness of Yehuda, Judah, saying, make Teshuva, repentance, for the Malkut HaShemayim, the kingdom of the heavens, has come near. Beloved, the Torah is unyielding when it comes to sin. It defines for us exactly what sin is. The reason sin is so rampant in this day among most of the Church of Christendom is there is no Torah. Everything is relative. I decide what's right or wrong for me. There are no absolutes. Nothing to the left of Matthew really matters because we live in the so-called New Covenant land of grace. Don't put me under the law is the anthem that is proclaimed. All the while, those who make that proclamation are blinded to the reality. It is just this kind of flawed theology that actually puts you there. To keep Yahweh's Torah, his instruction, keeps you from being placed under the judgment that comes from breaking those commandments. Let us remember the words of our blessed Master Yeshua. We're quoting here from Yochanan, John, chapter 14 and verse 15. If you have, Ava, love for me, you will be shomer, mitzvot, you will guard and keep regarding my commandments. The Torah is all about love. I challenge you to read our present Sefer, the book of Devarim, and see how many times the word love is used. The Torah is not a ball and chain. It is the means of great freedom for those who understand it. The Torah was given on the day of the Moed, appointed time, the Hagim, the Feast of Shavuot, Pentecost. This was exactly 50 days after the Moed, appointed time of Habikkurim, first fruits, during the celebration of the Moed, appointed time of Pesach, Passover. 50 is the number of Yovel, or Jubilee. The Yovel Jubilee is a time of great freedom and release. Debts are canceled. The captives are set free. It is true the Torah had a perceived weakness, citing Romans chapter 8, verse 3, the first part of that verse. It could point out sin, but it could not give the power to overcome it. That's where Master Yeshua stepped in. He came to us in the likeness of sinful flesh, in order that he might condemn or judge sin in the flesh, citing Romans chapter 8, the latter part of verse 3. What the written Torah couldn't do, he, the living Torah, did. The animal korbanot, offerings of Torah, instituted under the second renewal, citing Shemot, Exodus chapter 34, of the original covenant between Yahweh and Israel at Mount Sinai, again, citing Shemot Exodus chapter 20, could only atone or cover sin. Yeshua HaMashiach gave his life and his blood. That perfect sinless blood took away sin. When he comes the second time, the entire process of salvation will be finally realized. It is then sin will not only be taken away, meaning its ability to condemn us for what we have done, it will be obliterated, forever removed from existence, citing Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah 31, verse 34, and Ivrim, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17. Now we get to keep the Torah without condemnation, citing Romans 8 and verse 1. This is how the power of Yahweh is able to manifest through us. It is by Yahweh's indwelling presence we can do all of Yahweh's words, citing Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 and Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. All we must do is continue yielding to him as he moves within our spirit in power. Understanding how the book of Devarim is broken down. The book of Devarim, Deuteronomy, is actually a speech Moshe is giving to Israel, the second generation, before his death. It's easier to keep up with what Moshe is doing if we can identify the different sections of this speech. First off, we need to realize the sections of this speech are not marked in any way. Therefore, in order to identify what is happening, you must pay attention to who is doing the talking and what the subject is. For the most part, the Torah is written in the third person as a narrative. However, in the Sefer, Book of Devarim, Deuteronomy, it is different. From the opening of chapter 1 through 30, the writing is in the first person direct quote format. There are four sections in this speech. They are 1, the introduction, chapters 1 through 4, the main body, chapters 5 through 26, the renewed covenant, chapters 27 and 28, and lastly, the call to repentance, chapters 29 through 30. It is at this point the rest of the Sefer, the book, returns to the third-person narrative form that is most common to the Torah. A couple of points in closing. There are a couple of other points that I would like to highlight as we get ready to close our parsha. First, in keeping with the theme of teshuva or repentance, it should be noted this parsha always comes just around the ninth of Av. This, of course, has been a day of infamy and much sorrow. Many of the most tragic historical events that have befallen the house of Jewish Israel have occurred on this date. The period preceding the ninth of Av on the Hebrew calendar is known in traditional Judaism as Bein HaMetzorim, or Between the Straits, or the 3 weeks of mourning. It is a time of intense teshuva and repentance for the house of Yehuda, Judah, that prepares the way for the coming fall Moedim, the appointed times, and Chagim, the feast. This 3-week period begins on the 17th of the Hebrew month of Tammuz. This is historically the day that Moshe came down from Mount Sinai to find Am Israel, the first generation worshiping the golden calf. In his anger at their idolatry, he threw the original tablets containing the 10 words down and they were broken. Later in history, the destruction of the first Hakal, the temple, occurred. This was when Yahweh brought judgment upon the house of Jewish Israel in 586 BC or BCE through King Nebuchadnezzar for their sin of not honoring the Shabbat. In 70 AD CE, again on the 9th of Ab, the second Hakal, the temple, was also destroyed by Rome. Now you may ask, what has this got to do with those of us who are not Jewish? Through the restoration of the whole house of Israel, we have come to learn that being an Israelite is not merely a Jewish reality. The nation of Israel was divided by Yahweh's judgment into 2 distinct separate houses. Shortly after the death of Shlomo, Solomon, the southern house, made up of 2 tribes, became known as Yehuda, Judah. This is where we get the term Jewish from. The northern house, made up of 10 tribes, retained the name Israel, but was also known as the house of Yosef Ephraim. As a result, the nation of Israel has both Jewish and non-Jewish descendants. Those of us who are not Jewish, but have had our partial blindness removed, have come to know our true Hebraic identity as part of the scattered outcast northern house of Yosef Ephraim. Yahweh has revealed this so we may understand the reality that we too are Israelites. As a result, there is indeed a connection between us and our elder brother Yehuda, Judah. We are all Israel. Part of Yahweh's eternal and redemptive purposes includes the reunion of these two houses, one mighty one, Yahweh, one nation, one house, one king. There is a Hebraic idiom that states, Kol Yisrael Aravim Ze Laze, all Israel is responsible for each other. Therefore, we support our elder brother, Yehuda, Judah, in whatever way we can. This means that during this 3 weeks, we join with him in teshuva repentance. After all, Yehuda, Judah is not the only one who has sinned and suffered Yahweh's judgment. We, from the northern, non-Jewish house of Israel, Yosef Ephraim, have also suffered greatly for our own sins of paganism, worship of false idols, and sexual immorality. 2,730 years ago, we lost our identity due to that sinfulness. Our avot, our fathers, were taken captive by Assyria and subsequently assimilated into their culture. In time, we, the northern house, were scattered among the nations. It's only been since the mid-1990s that this judgment has been lifted. Now, we have been able to recover our lost Hebraic identity as part of the whole house of Israel. Citing, please follow the link below to our study on the restoration of the whole house of Israel. It will be a great help in your being able to understand and grasp what Yahweh is doing in this hour of restoration. The link is right here at the bottom of this paragraph on page 6. Yes, we indeed have things to repent for, even as the house of Jewish Israel does. The whole book of Devarim, Deuteronomy, is about Am Israel, the second generation, being ready to enter the land and possess their inheritance. We too, as the returning house of Yosef Ephraim, are awaiting our opportunity to return to the physical portion of our inheritance, the land of Israel. Our elder brother, Yehuda, Judah, has already been given that opportunity. This process for them began in 1948, when Israel became a recognized nation again. We are not merely trying to study about the Hebraic roots of our faith. We also desire to be repatriated in every way to be who we really are, Israel. It's why the Torah has been returned to us. Our Melech, King, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, is returning to reign over a restored, unified house of Israel. The Malkut HaShemayim, Kingdom of the Heavens, is close at hand. Only the Torah can prepare us for His return and the dark days of tribulation that will come before. Only the Torah, applied by Yahweh through His Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, can prepare us, both houses, to return to the land. There needs to be a deep sense of teshuva, repentance, on our part, along with our elder brother, Yehuda, Judah. We should take these 3 weeks to join with our brother in his teshuva, his repentance, to turn with him from the sinful behavior of our own generations that has brought us such judgment. Lastly, let me give a word of encouragement as we progress in this last Sefer book of the Torah. We are going to find prophetic nuggets along the way, which Yahweh has hidden for us all through the coming parashot or portions we will be studying. Your heart will be greatly encouraged as these secrets are uncovered. They have been there for ages, But now is the time Yahweh has ordained to make them known in their proper context and setting of the restoration of the whole house of Israel. Baruch Hashem Yahweh, you alone are Nehaman v'Rachaman, faithful and true. Chapters 2 through 3. The words contained in chapters 2 and 3 of our Parsha cover the past history of Am Israel, following their deliverance from Mitzrayim, Egypt, and their journeys through the Midbar, the wilderness. It also includes their most recent history, preceding their being poised at the River Yarden Jordan in our present Parsha. I am not going to take the time here to cover that at this point. We have just finished doing so in our most recent Torah Parsha, Maaseh, at the end of the Sefer, the book of Bamidbar, Numbers. May Yahweh prepare our hearts as we hear and see what He did for Israel of old. He is certainly preparing us today, the whole house of Israel, in restoration. We too are about to cross over into the fullness of our inheritance in both the spirit and in the natural. Amen. We say the following blessing as we continue each week's study of the Torah. Chazak u'baruch, strength and blessing.